Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Planned, and I came in here today and I was going to start getting ready to talk to you guys, and you know, I try to be prepared, so I try to think throughout the week. I don't just wait until Wednesday to be like, what am I going to talk about? So like I said, I had something else totally ready and prepared that I was going to talk to you about, and I was driving in here this morning, and I had Bobo with me. He came with me because we went and played golf after I got done studying, and I was praying, just talking to the Lord, and he started to speak to me about attitude, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is your attitude matters. I'm a firm believer that your attitude, not only does it matters a lot. Okay, so I want to talk to you, that's what the Lord put on my heart, to talk to you about attitude. Henry Ford, maybe you've heard this quote before, he said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are correct. Because it's about that attitude that you approach something in. And I also like this quote, no one knows who said it, but it's absolutely true. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You aren't going anywhere until you change it. How many of you have had a flat tire before? You ain't going anywhere until you get that joker changed, right? And that's how it is living with a bad attitude. Is you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to grow anywhere. You're not going to become who God called you to be if you have a complaining attitude, if you have a negative attitude, if you have an attitude of you're constantly disappointed, nothing's ever good enough, I can never be happy in this moment. I'm here to tell you, you've got to learn how to live with the right attitude. So don't wait for your situation to change your attitude. That's what so many people do, is they think, well, when this changes, then that will change my attitude. I want you to know this tonight. You're in charge of your attitude. Your situation isn't in charge of your attitude, but a lot of times that's how we live. Things go bad and we get a bad attitude. Now, I didn't know that God was going to begin to put this on my heart and then I was going to get tested in it right away. Because today, I went and got some Chick-fil-A and I was wearing a pair of shorts that I bought yesterday. And as a golfer, I consider myself a khaki short enthusiast, okay? Madison's like, do you really need another pair of khaki shorts? And I'm like, I absolutely do. I might be wearing the same underwear that I've been wearing for 4 years, but I'm going to get me a new pair of khaki shorts, okay? Socks got holes in them. Khaki shorts got to be nice. And so I'm wearing this pair of khaki shorts that I bought yesterday, and I go to pull out, and I'm trying to eat while I drive, and I've got my fries in my left hand, and I hit them with my right hand, and then all my fries go in my lap. And they just came out of the fryer, so they're oily. So I'm seeing oil spots all over my pants. And so, like, I'm brushing them off into the floor. And then I'm thinking, I can't eat them. Now they're in the floor. I could have eaten them off my shorts. I can't eat them off the floor. And immediately, I started to get frustrated. And I thought, I'm not going to let this situation affect my attitude. I'm going to let my attitude affect the situation. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, you may say, well, that's so dumb. That's so little. Let me tell you something. When you walk with God, and when you're his child, and you've been serving him, a lot of times, you're not going to fall for the big temptations until you first fall for the small temptations. And you start to have a bad attitude here. And that attitude that you have about your fries spilling in your lap, when you get home, you never recovered from that bad attitude. And so then your wife says something that doesn't quite line up with the way that you think it should have been addressed to you. And so then you begin to respond to her with a bad attitude. And then a child walks in while you're having a conversation with your wife. And you don't like the fact that they interrupted this very cordial conversation that you're having with your spouse right now. So then you fly off the handle on them. And then it's just a snowball effect that gets worse and worse and worse that could have been averted if you would have decided, I'm going to have a good attitude. I may have spilled my fries. I wanted the whole medium fry, and now I've got like a kid-sized fry because the rest of them went in the floorboard. And now I got oil spots on my shorts. But you know what? There could be a lot worse in my life. I could not have anything to eat. I could not have a car to drive. I could not have clothes to wear. But thankfully, I do. And so it comes back to, that's why I say having a good attitude is so important, because we think, well, having a bad attitude, well, yeah, I just had a little bit of a bad attitude, but that's not really a sin. But do you realize the snowball effect that can take place of just one poor decision to not conduct yourself in relying on the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to help you? Now, I want you to know this before I go any further. When I talk about attitude, I'm not here to just be a motivational speaker to you tonight. There's spiritual principles involved in having a good attitude, okay? I really believe that this is important and it's critical in our walk with God. And I want to first look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 22 through 24. And I'm going to read it to you first in the New King James, and then I want to read it in the Amplified Bible. Now, the Amplified Bible, there's some parts of it that are very much a paraphrase. They're not as quite literal or word for word, but I do think that it points out some very good things for us to understand and see. So that's why I want to read it to you first in the New King James, and then on the screens, we're going to read the Amplified together. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul writes, and he says this, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Okay, so I don't know about you, but before I was really walking with God, I had a bad attitude, and I had a bad attitude all the time. And I didn't see any reason not to, because I thought if something bad happens, that's just how you respond. Someone's rude to you, you be rude back to them. Paul says, the way that you used to act, put it off completely. Don't live that way anymore. Don't walk that way anymore. There should be a visible difference between those who walk in the Spirit and those who walk in the flesh. So he says, put it off. Then he says, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What's he saying? Think differently. Let your mind be renewed. Don't just think the way that you thought when you were living according to the deceitful lusts of the flesh. Be renewed in that mind, meaning think differently. Okay? Verse 24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, let's read the Amplified version. This is for the hard of hearing, this version of the Bible. Do you guys like my little characters here? I kind of like these guys. Yeah. I don't know why, but they're friendly looking. I don't know. This guy's going to work. That regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self. Listen to this in parentheses. Completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be, I love this word right here, continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not just be renewed. You see, I think we get this idea of like, oh, well, I got renewed in my mind when I got saved, or I got renewed in my mind when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, or I got renewed in my mind that one time at this really powerful service. No, we are called to be renewed in our mind on a daily basis. And that renewal of the mind will change your attitude, which we'll find out later has a lot to do with how you think. So be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen to this. Having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. I love this. Think about this for a moment. When we live holy and we live righteously, and we keep a good attitude, even when our fries spill in our lap and ruin our brand new shorts, it says to God, I'm so thankful that you saved me. Why does that say to God, I'm thankful that you saved me? Because I didn't cuss. I didn't flip a lid. I didn't get mad. I didn't allow it to become a snowball of emotion that bleeds over into how I treat my wife or how I treat my children or how I preach to you tonight. And to God, that says, I'm so thankful that you saved me, because it shows him, I don't want to be who I used to be. I'm thankful that you have made me somebody new, who I am now. So let's talk about what an attitude is. An attitude, by definition, is a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. So it's not something that should just come and go. It's that we get settled, that I don't have a good attitude one day and a bad attitude the next day. Even though I may have a good day one day and a bad day the next day, my attitude is settled because I realize I'm renewed in my mind. I'm not who I used to be. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, so therefore I'm going to conduct myself in a holy and a righteous manner that is in accordance with his word. It's a settled way of thinking or feeling about something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. So this is what I want you to understand. Your attitude is seen by others because it's reflected in your behavior. You can tell them you're a Christian all you want, but they should see it in your attitude. You can tell people you love them all that you want, but they should see it in your attitude. You can tell people you love God, you go to church, you believe in the Bible. They should see it in your behavior, in your attitude, the way that you live. So your attitude will show. Your attitude reflects who you really are because your attitude is shown. You ever talked with a toddler and you're like, you're having a bad attitude right now? Well, somebody needs to tell you that every now and then. And you need to tell yourself that every now and then. You know what, Spencer? You're having a bad attitude right now and you need to chill out, right? Because it reflects who you really are. You've heard the old cliche before. What happens when you squeeze toothpaste? What comes out? Toothpaste. Your attitude reveals who you really are. When you're put into a situation that frustrates you, that doesn't go the way you want it to go, your true colors are going to begin to show. And that's your attitude. It also means a mental position with regard to state or fact. So your attitude not only shows who you are, your attitude shows what you really believe. What do I mean by that? You can say God loves everybody. You can say that you love everybody. You can say that you believe in being kind. But when you have a bad attitude and you blow up on somebody because they messed up your McDonald's order or because they cut you off in traffic or because they said something that you didn't like, it reveals not just who you really are, what you actually believe. Because you can say that you believe that it's wrong to treat people badly or to look down on people or to respond in anger, but your attitude will reveal if you really believe that or not. Because if you really believed it, you'd live that way. I want to show you some synonyms for the word attitude. Mood. Oh, I'm just moody today. No, you have a bad attitude and you need to change it. Viewpoint. Meaning, I conduct myself this way because that's how I see the world. Well, as believers, are we not called to see the world through the lens of the Word of God? Through the lens of walking in the Spirit? So, therefore, if we've been renewed in the Spirit, we should have the viewpoint of the Spirit. And that's part of our attitude, our demeanor, our mindset, our manner of thinking, the condition of the mind, our temperament. I've got to ask myself sometimes, why am I so temperamental? Why did that bother me so bad? Why do I have such a short fuse right now? Probably because I'm not walking in the attitude of Christ. I'm walking in the attitude of the flesh. And I need to check myself. Opinion. Way of looking at things. Posture. These are synonyms to the word attitude. I want to look at another passage of Scripture. Philippians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 6. This is in the same chapter that we've been reading out of on Sunday mornings for our growth chart series. And in the second chapter, 4 through 6, I want to read it to you from, again, New King James, and then we're going to read it from the NLT. Paul says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." This is important to note that this is a part of our attitude, how we treat other people. And Paul says, don't just look out for yourself. Let the attitude that you live in be the attitude of, how do I treat other people better than myself? He says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant in the likeness of men." Now I want to look at it in the NLT. Don't look out only for your own interests. Listen to this, but take an interest in others too. Have you ever noticed how many conversations are so one-sided? You'll ask somebody, "What do you do?" And they never ask you what you do. How many children you got? They never ask you how many children you got. Let's be people that we show interest. Don't be those that type of person that it's the conversation is all, what are they going to ask about me? What can I tell them about me? What's going on with me? Paul says, take an interest. This should be your attitude, that I'm not just interested in me. You know, a lot of people are like the old country song, want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one, oh my, me, my. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, I understand that in the New King James, it says we should have the mind. But remember, part of the synonyms of the word attitude have so much to do with the mindset, with viewpoint. And Paul, they break it down in this word, not a word for word, but a thought for thought. This is the scholar said, you know what? Let's say this. This is what I think Paul is trying to communicate. Whatever attitude Jesus had, you have that attitude. You live like that. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. But then it goes on to say, he made of himself no reputation. He took on the form of a servant. Live in that attitude. So I want to say this. Your attitude affects your aptitude and your altitude. Now, I know the old idiom is your attitude affects your altitude. And that's been said so many times, and so many times that sounds cheesy, but it is true. But your attitude doesn't just affect your altitude, it always also affects your aptitude. Now, what is aptitude? Aptitude is the natural ability to do something, and altitude is the height of an object or the point in relation to sea level or ground level. So here's what that means to me. Your attitude affects what you can do and how far you will go. And so many times we're limited by what we can actually accomplish and how far we can actually go in our walk with God, how effective we can be in reaching those that are around us, all because we're limited, not that we couldn't have the ability, we couldn't have the aptitude, not that we don't have the potential. So this is the way I look at it. Every single person has potential to be used by God. But is everybody being used by God? No. And I think one of the greatest determining factors for people not being used by God is the fact that they live with a bad attitude. And you can trace this back to the example that God gave us in the Old Testament of the people of Israel. As they wandered around in the wilderness and God gave them manna and they got to the point where they were just complaining about the manna. I wish we could go back to Egypt. Do you realize what they were saying? I'd rather be a slave and eat onion and garlic than be free and eat manna. I would rather go back to being beaten on the back and make bricks and build buildings and not have the freedom that we can encounter and worship God out here, even in the wilderness, and eat manna. They had a wrong attitude. They had a wrong mindset. And so your attitude affects your aptitude, your ability. Some, like it goes back to the quote I shared with you, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you are correct. Because your attitude, it affects your aptitude, but it also affects your altitude. How high you'll go, how far you'll go, how effective you'll be in being you. You know, we talked a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night about being used by God. Your attitude has so much to do with being used by God. Because imagine if that little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he would have gone, he would have looked at it and said, no, it's not enough. But he offered it. And even the disciples, they said, oh, here we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is that amongst so many? Their attitude already began to try to diminish what was possible. And Jesus said, no, no, that's enough. Why? Because Jesus had the attitude that anything that is put in God's hands will become more than enough. And so your attitude will affect your aptitude and your altitude. You know what else your attitude will affect? Your family and your friends. And we don't think about this enough because we don't look out for the interests of others. We only look out for our own interest. And when you become narrow-sighted by selfishness, you fail to realize that the attitude that I'm walking in is shaping the attitude that my children are going to have. You know, my boys, y'all test me on this, okay? Hopefully they can't hear me. Ask them their opinion of soccer sometime. No offense, Fairleys. I know y'all like soccer. The DeVries family is just my grand... And you know why? You know why I don't like soccer? Because my grandfather didn't. Okay? And no offense. Like, it's a great sport. We just don't play soccer. Part of that is I'm not good at it. And so I don't like to do it. I don't like to do anything I'm not good at. But you ask my boys, hey, what do y'all think about soccer? And they will be very honest with you and tell you, we don't like soccer. Why? Because my attitude towards soccer has shaped their attitude towards soccer. Now, replace soccer with other people. My attitude towards the worker in the window at Chick-fil-A, my attitude towards the homeless person on the side of the street, my attitude towards the person that sits three rows back and four seats in, my attitude towards their coach on their baseball team, my attitude towards life, towards money, towards politics affects them. It affects my spouse. It affects you. And guess what? Your attitude affects me. Do you realize that we pretty much make our decisions based upon what we see? And I'm talking about physical, like where we're going to eat. Because you saw that Wendy's now has a Dreamsicle Frosty, and you haven't been to Wendy's in 9 months. And you're like, well, we have to try that, right? And now some of you are sitting here going, well, I didn't know they had that, so I know where I'm going on the way home, right? And so your attitude affects those that are around you. It affects your coworkers. And I mean this in a positive way, but also in a negative way. We all have had to deal with people that were like, I just don't like working with them. Why? Probably because they have a bad attitude. It's not because they're great to deal with and they're happy and they're easygoing. The reason we don't want to be with them, the reason we don't want to be partnered with them on a project is because they have a bad attitude. And so we need to be careful that we have a good attitude. So now my next question is, do you want to win? Because I believe that God wants us to win every single day. How do I know that? Because Paul said, thanks be to God who always leads us in victorious triumph. I believe that God wants us to win every single day. God's not a loser, so therefore Christians should not be losers. And I'm not just talking about sports. I'm talking about winning in obeying God and being true to who he's called you to be. So I want to give you some godly reminders on how to keep a good attitude, okay? Did I miss any slides before that one, though, Shelley? Because my notes didn't transfer to my iPad. Okay, that was the last one. Okay, good. I covered that. Then the next one was, are you ready to win? Here's some godly reminders. Okay, first one, we're going to be in Psalm 118. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, you can go to Psalm 118. Number one, remember to give thanks. If you want to have a good attitude, be a thankful person. Look at what it says in Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Thankful people have a much higher percentage of having good attitudes than ungrateful people. And that's obvious in how they communicate their feelings. And so I would encourage you, be grateful. What should you be grateful for? Well, the Bible tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus for us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It says, come before his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And so thanksgiving is a prelude to entering the courts of God. And so when you're in the courts of God, you're going to have a good attitude because the presence of God changes your demeanor. It changes everything about you. And so if you want to live in a good attitude, start every single morning by saying thank you. In fact, we don't have to get scientific or psychological on it, but scientists will tell you, you cannot be depressed and thankful at the same time. Your brain can't do it. If you're thankful, you're not depressed. If you're depressed, you're not being thankful. And so start with giving thanks. I try every single morning. God, thank you for our vehicle. Thank you that there's gas in it. Thank you for our home. Thank you that I woke up this morning. Thank you for my children. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your blessings on our life. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, because that sets me in the right attitude. But when I am not thankful to God, I've already set myself on the wrong course of having a bad attitude. And so I'm going to be negatively leaning towards situations. But being thankful makes me realize how good everything really is. Which leads me to the next one. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? He's good. If you want to, listen, I understand that the world is bad. And every generation wants to claim that the world is worse than it was before they got here. And I understand that in the last days, evil men will wax and worse. I'm not taking away from Scripture. What I'm saying is the world's been bad for a really long time. Do you realize that the world was bad before the flood? The world was bad after the flood, and it's been bad ever since. And so we want to sit around as Christians and have a bad attitude and have a negative outlook and, oh, politics and economy and this and that. And we need to stop and go, wait a second. We live in a bad world, but we serve a good God. And because we live in a bad world, but we serve a good God, we can have a good attitude. Why? Because God is good. And God is good all the time. He doesn't take days off. God isn't bad. God doesn't stop being good on Halloween. God doesn't stop being good on Monday when you clock into work. God is good 1,000% of the time. And so if you want to have a good attitude, remember to give thanks. Remember that God is good. And the next one is that His mercy endures forever, but I didn't put that one. So we're going to go down to verse 5. Remember that God answers distress calls. You know, if somebody gets out, you know, lost on a ship or something out in the middle of the ocean, which probably one of the most frightening things you could experience in your life, they would send out what's called a distress signal. And hopefully a neighboring boat, the Coast Guard, somebody, some old bearded man in a lighthouse would see their distress signal, right? And they would send help. And so often we get a bad attitude because things go bad. And if we would just remember, hey, wait, when things go bad, God answers distress calls. That's the gift of prayer. I can open up my mouth and say, God, I need some help over here, because that's exactly what David says. I called on the Lord in distress, and guess what? He answered me. He didn't turn a deaf ear. He didn't turn a blind eye. He heard my call of distress, and he came and he helped me. But do you know that we stay in our distress because we miss the first part? I called on the Lord. So often we remain stressed out in a difficult situation because we didn't even think to ask God, will you help me in this situation? Will you come and will you intervene? And so we stay in the bad situation and we have a bad attitude because we forget, I could just open up my mouth and call to God, and he's a God who is faithful. He'll help me. He'll heal me. He'll deliver me. So remember that God answers distress calls. The next one, remember that God is on your side. Verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You remember playing pickup football or basketball or baseball or soccer, for those of you that like it, when you were in grade school. And there was always that one kid that got picked first, and you knew if we got Johnny, that sealed the game. Like, you wanted first pick, because if you got Johnny, like, no one could cover him. Nobody was bigger than him. No one was stronger than him. No one was faster than him. And David's saying, look, y'all, I don't have anything to fear. I can operate in full confidence. And I'm saying to you tonight, we can have a good attitude. You know why? God's on our side. And anytime something goes bad and we have a bad attitude, I can guarantee you that we did not first have the thought, God is good, I should give thanks, God is on my side, God answers distress signals. We just jumped right to the bad attitude part. That's why I say these are reminders. These can be checkpoints in our life to go, okay, I want to have a bad attitude, but first let me stop and remember, I'm going to give thanks for everything good in my life. I'm going to remember God is good. I'm going to remember his mercy endures forever. I'm going to remember that he answers distress signals. And I'm going to remember that he's on my side. What can man do to me? What's the worst they can do? Jesus said, don't fear people that can kill your body. Fear God, because he's the one that can send you to hell. And so I don't have to worry about what people can do to me, because I'm resting in the arms of my Father. He's on my side. If God be for us, tell me, who can be against us? Amen. Next one. Remember this. Remember that it's better to trust in the Lord. Because verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so many times the reason that we have a bad attitude is people let us down. And so we get frustrated at them. Our family lets us down. Our boss lets us down. Our coworkers let us down. Our spouse lets us down. And we respond with a bad attitude. Why? Why did it bother us so bad that they let us down? Because we were trusting in them too much. But if we would just trust in God, and remember it's better to put all our trust in Him because people are going to fail me anyways. I want to do my best to be a good spouse to Madison. I want to be a good father to my children. But you know what? I don't want them to trust me more than they trust God, because that's a bad place to be. And that will lead you to having a bad attitude. So remember, it's better to trust in the Lord. The next one is in verse 14. Remember that the Lord is your strength. Verse 14 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." You don't have to be strong in and of yourself to have a good attitude. You just have to remember, you know what? The Lord's my strength. Where does my strength come from in the Lord? The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." God is for me. Who can be against me? He's on my side. He's my strength. The righteous right hand of the Lord lifts me up. That's his strength. It propels me. It helps me to keep going. So I can have a good attitude because it doesn't rely on me and my ability. I rest in the strength of God. Next one, verse 17, remember you're going to make it. So many times we get a bad attitude because we just want to throw in the towel. That's it. We want to quit. We want to give up. I've had enough. I just want this day to be over. I just want it to be done. Remember this. David said, "I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." What's he saying? I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it through it. Yeah, you might wander the wilderness for a while. Yeah, you might have to walk through the valley of shadow of death for a while. Yeah, you might have some trials. You might have some circumstances, but don't let those things affect your attitude. Remember, my attitude says, I'm going to make it. Because the book of Hebrews says, we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. So I remember, I'm going to make it. When I remember I'm going to make it, just think about this. The next time something bad happens to you, remember that there's been tons of other bad things that have happened, and you made it. It's amazing how something bad happens, and people lose their minds. I understand emotions, I understand, but weeping, just losing all, control over themselves. And sometimes I just want to look at people and go, "Hey, you remember a month ago when you were acting the same way? Like, it's okay, you got through that moment, remember? And you were good, right? Yeah, I was good. Well, you can be good again. But you got to remember, I'm going to make it through this because God's on my side." All right, next one. Remember that God made this day for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah, bad things happen, but he's a good God. So I'm going to rejoice. That word rejoice means to spin around vehemently, to have joy again and again and again. I'm going to rejoice. Why? Because God made this day. I understand that humans may have caused issues. I understand that the enemy may have caused issues. But at the end of it all, God created this day. And whatever he creates, he owns. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, I believe it's in chapter 65 and verse 11, that he crowns the year with his goodness. That word crowns means he encircles. So that means from January 1 to December 31, he's circled every single day with his goodness. Why? Because this is the day the Lord has made. And because he made it, I'm going to rejoice. It doesn't say, I'm going to rejoice because everything's going good. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. Why? Because he made it. And so I'm going to remember that he made this day for me. I believe it's the last. There's one more, I think. Remember to rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. And I kind of already went through that earlier just a moment ago. So my encouragement to you is do not let your day dictate your attitude. Now, I don't believe that your attitude can magically change your circumstances. That's not what I'm saying. Your attitude is you saying, I'm going to lead. It's like when David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That was David saying, the day's not going to win. My attitude is going to stay in a position of praise. My attitude is I'm going to bless God. It doesn't mean that everything's going right. And I don't believe that if you have a good attitude, all of a sudden everything will change. In fact, things may get worse. You may be like Joseph. Joseph was walking through the field one day in the best coat, in the favorite of his father, everything going well. His brothers are like, "Let's throw him in a pit," right? "Let's sell him." "Oh, it can't get worse." "Oh, sure it does." They take him hundreds of miles away, sell him to a foreigner by the name of Potiphar. well, things can't get any worse. Oh, yeah, they can. His wife can falsely accuse you of trying to sleep with her, and you get thrown in prison. Well, can't get worse than that. Well, yeah, until the baker and the cupbearer totally forget about you, and you stay in prison even longer. And then, all of a sudden, Pharaoh calls on you. And you become the ruler, second in command of the most powerful nation in the entire world, and you're able to save your entire family from a famine. But sometimes we think, well, it can't get any worse than this. So sometimes it does. But you got to keep a good attitude either way. Why? Because God's on your side. And everything doesn't look beautiful and everything doesn't look perfect on the outside. But trust me, if he allows it, he'll use it. If he allows it, you can make it through it. Because he will always provide a way of escape. It may look like it goes through a pit and it goes through Potiphar's house and it goes through prison, but eventually if you trust him, I believe he'll lead you to the palace. Now your palace may look different than Joseph's palace, but it will be a palace nonetheless, because it will be the perfect place that God has for you to be in and to live in. But it all comes back to this, having a good attitude. What is having a good attitude? Let me sum it up with this. It's trusting God in every single situation. Saying, okay, God, I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to trust you. You know what's best. And so I surrender my life to you. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Father, I thank you so much for the clarity of your word that you give us, that we can read it and we can receive instruction and guidance. Thank you for the examples that you gave us in the mighty men and women that were used by you. And Father, I pray for every single one of us to remember that our attitude affects our aptitude and our attitude. Our altitude, our attitude affects our family, our friends, our attitude affects our walk with you. And so, Father, may we be people that keep the right mindset, that we live in the same mentality that Jesus himself lived in, and that we would humble ourselves, we would take interest in others, and that we would be obedient to everything that you've called us to do. God, help us to live in this attitude. And I know that if we do so, you'll use us to change the people and the things around us, because we are called to be kingdom dwellers and we have authority as ambassadors in Christ Jesus. And may we walk in that authority and in that calling that you've given us. I pray a blessing tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile over you. And may you dwell and live in the right attitude and mindset, fully surrender to God in everything that you do. And may you be blessed in everything that you put your hands to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys so much. It's great to see you tonight.